Ask your neighbor, do you fear the Lord? It's very important too. That thing is not a joke. Let me say it again. The fact that God loves us does not give us the right to behave anyhow. Let me say this again. If you continue walking against the will of God, one day you will suffer the judgment. People say God will allow the devil. Some say, no, it's not God that will allow the devil. It's God himself that will do something. Whether God allows or God does, if the Lord kills a man, he's still dead. Whether it is God that killed him or God only allowed the devil to kill him, a dead man is a dead man. Do you understand the principle there? And listen, let's not joke with the Lord and take the things of God for granted. Like I say all the time, if you're a preacher, treat this word with care. Don't use it for your own ends. Don't use it for your own purposes. Don't twist it to solve your own personal problems. If you're angry with somebody, do not mount the pulpit and turn the man to a preaching point. That is an abuse of office. Do you follow my point? If a man is owing you money as a preacher, not as a normal Christian, as a preacher, don't use the word of God to preach so he can pay. Even though what you are saying is right, it's an abuse of office. If your wife is annoying you and she's a member of your church, all right, don't mount the pulpit and turn her and start preaching so that she will hear. If you want to preach to her, sit her down and say, I have a message for you. Sit here. But don't use the pulpit to try and manipulate your home, even though it's for a good, you think it is good. Many of these things are abuse. We are abusing the office. We are not handling the word of God purely. We are handling the word of God deceitfully. All right? And preachers often do it. You must not handle the word of God deceitfully. Sometimes we think that what we are doing is right. But it's actually not right. Once it's our own personal agenda, it's never right. You should use the word of God all the time to correct people, all right, concerning their own righteous walk in life. You should use the word of God to direct people towards righteousness as a matter of habit, not because you want something personally. You don't say the church is not growing, so you now say those who are not winning souls, they are not wise. And the reason why you are saying it all the time is because you are angry that the church is not growing. You should be able to teach people that if you win souls and they don't come here, it is good. As long as they enter into the kingdom of God. There is a church that is closer to the person's house than your church. It is all right. I'm just going to say, if you're a preacher, treat this thing with care. Handle it like, you know, the other day I was watching How America Was Built, all right, a documentary films on it. And we're talking about when they had to build the Hoover Dam and how they had to, you know, blast through rock and stuff like that. And there was a time, the chemist invented one of these explosives that was so explosive, they couldn't transport it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you manufacture it in Lagos, to bring it to Enugu was a problem because likely to blow up on the way. So they had to set up a lab near the site so as to make the explosives. And you will see the people handling it with care that, listen, if the thing drops, it can blow everybody to pieces. I want us to handle the word of God like that. That we don't treat it anyhow. Why? Because the Lord, our God, is actually still a consuming fire. He did not retire from consuming when Jesus died. That's what we think about sometimes. We think that Christianity allows for licentiousness, living carelessly. It is not true. It is not true. Christianity actually sets a higher standard for us. Like Jesus said, under the old covenant, a man must not commit adultery. All right? Under the new covenant, a man must not even think about it in his heart. Which one is more difficult? Which one is more stringent? Do you understand? And Paul says something, he writes in the book of Hebrews, all right? In that book of Hebrews you read, he said that let's just quickly open to it. I quoted it the other day, but I didn't read it. Let's just read it so that you understand that Christianity is serious business. It's serious business. The fact that God has not begun to do some things against us does not mean he does not do such things, or he cannot, or we think because we are Christians, we are just allowed to do what we want to do as if it doesn't matter. I say to you again today, it does. Quickly go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, just to show that under the new covenant, things are tighter. We are called to a higher level of responsibility. The only difference is that we have the empowerment. It says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unutterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. He said, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testified with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. What was he saying here? He was saying that if the people under the old covenant, all right, suffered some consequences for treating the word of God with levity, he said, how shall we escape if we neglect such great a salvation? What was he trying to say? That under the new covenant, what God has prepared is more serious. For that reason, we should take it more serious because the consequences of neglecting it will also be more severe. The kind of nonsense I hear these days sometimes is annoying. You see a man, I heard this a few days ago, a deacon in a church, his wife is pregnant. He begins to chase another woman and tells the woman, what is the relationship about? If you can't go to bed with me and you're a deacon in the church, listen to me, the time in which God just allowed those things to pass has passed. Sometimes God just allows things to be for a while because he's hoping that messages like this will come forth and change your mind. And if your mind will not change, you will suffer the consequences. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We read before in that 1 John chapter 5 that a Christian is committing sin, a brother is committing sin. Yes, we can pray for him. He said, but now, I'm paraphrasing now, if he makes it a habit, okay, the seed of God is not in him. That such a person, ignore him. He will suffer his consequences. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. There is a call again to a standard of living that is holier than what the world does, which we are supposed to believe in by anyway. We should be known. That's what I've been talking about, the culture of Christianity. We must be known by the standard that we use that is superior to that of the world, so that even if people did not hear the name of our church or they did not even know that we're Christians, just by observing the way we do things, they'll know this fellow is different. That is all I have been trying to explain to people. You cannot say everybody does it because I'm a policeman, so I admit I will collect Roger. If you collect Roger, your own Roger will harm you. I'm telling you. Don't say because you're a Christian, you're covered. You are not covered. The only thing that it does for you as a believer is that you have the power to refuse. And God can bless you in life. You can pray and God will solve your problems. You can't say this how everybody does. You continue doing it. People must know that this man is different. They must know that this woman, she's different. One of our brothers in his office, there was a man, he pastor in his supposedly a pastor. Everybody in the office knows that he's a womanizer. Anything wearing skirt hides from him. Yet, he opened his mouth and said, the fact that we are men of God doesn't mean we are holy. And some people are begging to be punished. I saw a mafia movie once. Some boys went and attacked a restaurant that belongs to a mafia boss. And one of the mafia enforcers said, these men were begging to be made examples. I never forgot that expression. He said, these people were begging to be made examples. And sometimes we Christians behave like that. You know, when David sinned, listen, what I'm telling you is the truth of the word of God. If anybody tells that I'm not preaching grace, he doesn't understand grace. Grace does not mean anything I do is okay. Grace means that if I say I'm not committing sin, I have the power not to. That's what grace means. Grace means that even if I want to sin, my body shouldn't agree. Because the power of Christ is working in me. Grace does not mean I excuse every nonsense I do because I say it's grace. No. I'm under grace. It doesn't matter. It matters. That's what I'm explaining. It is a lie. We are not telling the truth. This was what people did when they took the gospel of James, of Paul, when he was talking about righteousness by faith. They thought it meant that I'm righteous no matter what I do. James had to write to correct it. James said, and I want to say it again, even though I've said it, I don't know, countless times here, but we can't say this enough. Righteousness is by faith. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
Righteousness is not by works. You are not getting to heaven because of what you did or did not do. You are getting to heaven because of who you know. It's a principle of life. It is who you know. You know the Lord Jesus, he takes you to heaven, he introduces you to the Father. That's a matter of fact. However, if your faith does not produce works, it's dead. That means your righteousness is also dead. I don't know what we hear what I'm saying. James said, faith without works is dead, being by itself. Do you understand? The righteousness that faith claimed to have produced is also dead. Is righteousness by works? No. But the works lets us know that we are righteous indeed. So if you want to know whether you're a true believer, if your life has been the same for the last 10 years, like when we were praying just now, what Yinka was referring to. Somebody said, I've been going to church for the last how many years? I can't see any change in my life. If I'm happy, that person has insight. That's already changed. Are you getting my point? Some people don't care. You see pastors, people will say, don't lend him money. You want to sell to him on credit. And he's a pastor. One day, one of my very senior colleagues, he built a house and rented it out. You know, contrary to what people do these days, 2 years rent and all of that. He said, no, let him just rent it out. That no, that's a lot of money. It's expensive and just pay the way we did. Let's take a year's rent. So he did that voluntarily. New house. So one day we're talking. He said he has told his lawyer to sue the people. I said, why? He said, because a particular church in this town rented it from their pastor. A pastor is staying in there, the church is not paying rent. It's not like they are broke. They are not broke. It's just their habit. Are you getting my point? They are known for it. So one day I was talking to the man. I said, which church? He told me the name of the church in my mind. Ah, mistake. I said, Sue. Ah. I started thinking, how do I join to plot against a body of Christians? So I was advising. I said, sir, no need to sue. I said, suing them, you know the way the legal system is slow. Let's do something. I was telling God, forgive me. Forgive me the counsel I'm about to give. I said, they understand two things. I know them. I said, one of the things they understand is public embarrassment. Threaten to embarrass them publicly, they will pay you your money. Now, why did I go to that level? Because I know that is the kind of thing they like. Shine outside. I said, sir, don't worry about suing them. We're going to court. I said, threaten to embarrass them. They will pay you. What am I going to say? Is that a bad testimony? Are you getting my point? Christians, I mean, we have to talk about this thing. That's the reason why some of the prayers we pray, God can't hear them. Because we say to the Lord, judge corruption in the land. God says, I have to start in my house. I'm that fair. You have the power to walk above corruption. You are walking in it. How should I judge those who do not have the power? That's my emphasis. We Christians, our culture is a culture of purity. Our culture is a culture of honesty. Our culture is a culture of sincerity. Our culture is a culture of truth. We don't tell lies. No, it amazed me that I had to be telling Christians that Christians don't lie. As a young boy, those are the one when I remember 1985, no 1980s or 87 thereabout. I was a campus student. We're at home, you know, so play for ordinary basketball. That was when I learned basketball. We're at home, Sap Riot. That was 89. Sap Riot was 89, yes. My friends, I joined them to learn to play basketball. Of course, you know the way boys would like to tell lies. Oh, I wasn't the one that touched the line. You know those kind of things. I didn't touch it. I know I didn't dribble twice. You know those kind of stuff. It got to a point. I became the arbiter. They would say, ask him. He doesn't tell lies. Do you know, friend, I didn't think it was a big deal. It was just supposed to be the normal of the life of a Christian. Who touched that ball last? Ask Banky. He doesn't tell lies. That's the culture. You are getting what I'm going to explain here. We make a habit of doing what is good. And what I'm teaching today is the fear of God. You know, we're on this fear of God thing now for about 2 sessions. This is our third. Why do we do that? Because indeed, God will have to punish us if we continue to do what is wrong. And I'm saying it, there's no gospel of grace that can say I'm lying. God disciplines his children that persist in doing iniquity. When they don't listen, eventually he kills them. Not the devil. He says, what you are doing to me on the earth is not good. I'll take you out from there. The embarrassment is enough. Go and listen to David. What David went through was not because Jesus hadn't died. David went through what he did because God said, you should have known better. He went to bed with Bathsheba. God didn't say anything. Then God brought something that would make him quickly realize what he did was bad. He should quickly repent. He plotted and killed Uriah. Then one day God now walked in. Say, you are done. Yes. Told him a story. He was burning hot. How can a man take a goat and kill a goat? Nathan said to him, Shay, you have now judged yourself. He said, I am sorry. God said, I have forgiven you. Nevertheless, I'm not threatening you that God will do that to you for what you did 6 years ago. 6 years ago is over. All right? You have been forgiven. It is the one you are doing after today you have heard me that I'm warning you about. Because it's what is called mocking God. What does it mean to mock God? To know what is right to do. And do the opposite, hoping that one day I will go and say sorry. God said, I will hear your sorry, but I will make you regret that decision. When the Lord was through with David, you don't want to go through what David went through. And you must understand, things were recorded for our learning. Many years ago, a man came and preached from the book of Job. I never understood that it was possible for such revelation to come from that book of Job. He said this was placed in the scriptures to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. So that no matter what you go through in life, you know you don't need to deny God. The Lord is still with you. That's an example. David also, I'm telling you, what he suffered was not corrected by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was a lesson for us. To whom much is given, much is expected. Some of these prayers we prayed the other day, Christians, it will happen to first of all. You go, you join politics, you harass people, you steal money, you know, do all kind of things. You will die in poverty, and there's no tithing that can deliver you. Some of these things you see in town. The reason why God hasn't spoken is because Christians are doing them. And he wants you to know that now I'm going to face those guys. That is my children. I will face them. Next time they tell you, see money steal, you will beg. Say, God, let me die in poverty. I'm sorry, I stole money? Never. I'm not going to share it. Some of these things we call Christianity is a fast joke. Some people that are tied to band refuse to use makeup. I hear that testimonies. Make them DGs first in Abuja. They are as bad as the people they criticize. But you see the turban. Carry Bible, Obadiah Bible, like they say. Worn out as if it's a sign of holiness. It's not a sign of holiness. It's not a sign of holiness. Some say, no, collect the money I used to preach the gospel. There are people in that Abuja, politicians, top civil servants, they are known for it. Even though you are a Christian, they will still collect their kickback from you. What are they doing with it? We used to preach the gospel. You use stolen money to preach the gospel. You are infusing a lie into the system. What is my call again today? Fear God. What did I say? David said, fear the Lord, you his saints. I said last time, and I'm picking up from it again. He said, there is no want to those who fear him. The reason is because the reason why people do things that are against the fear of God is because they feel like if I don't do it, I will lack. And David said, don't worry. Fear God, you his saints. For there is no lack, there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger. He said, but those who seek the Lord, that is what he was talking about, is in their pursuit of God, you see the fear of God in their lives. They will never lack any good thing. What men are stealing money to build, you will build bigger things. The world has not yet seen the life of a man, or they have not seen much of it, that's what I would say, who God has blessed, who walks in the fear of God. Listen, if you will walk with God, seek him diligently, he will bless you more than all the compromises of life can ever take you to. The only difference between God and the devil, I say all the time, is time. Well, let me not say the only difference. The main difference is time. The devil says, bow to me, and I will give you, bow to me, and right now, I give you all these kingdoms as your inheritance. God says, walk with me, and be thou perfect, and I will bless you. It's about walk. Satan's zone is that, just do one thing. And let me just quickly say this, why? Emphasize the difference between the two. Again, people often misunderstand operations of spiritual things. I wish I had time to just sit down and analyze these things in details. Okay, let's just start. We think you need to go to a shrine to bow to the devil. We look at a man and say, that man, you know why he's so rich? He joined a cult. It is the power of the cult that's making him rich. The man who's talking has joined a cult. He doesn't know. What is the cult he joined? The cult of liars, the cult of cheats, the cult of thieves, the cult of rogues, who sit in the market and sell fake products. Are you getting my point? Who adjust their scale so that when they dispense for you 50 liters of fuel, what they actually, supposed to be 50 liters, what they're actually giving you is 45. They've stolen your 5 liters. But they feel righteous because they are not members of what they call Ogboni. but they are as wicked as a bony man. The man who sells drugs is offering human sacrifices every day, fake drugs. A man is treated with a particular brand of antibiotics. They don't work. He dies because of his infections. The man who sold the drug is a murderer. The last time Indonesia executed a lot of drug dealers, remember, just a few weeks ago, the whole world begged them. They said no. Three Nigerians also were there. Some Australians, all those kind of things. Now, what the Indonesians said, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm not even analyzing their deeds at all. The point they made is what I want to say. That why they are so hard is that the number of people that die from the effect of this drug on a daily basis, what they are looking at. You are looking at 9 people that are on death row. They said, no, we have to ensure that you guys don't come back. So, the man who is selling cocaine, heroin to make money, he doesn't believe he's in a cult, offering up human sacrifices every day. Meanwhile, on the streets of Indonesia, his goods, his products are killing people every day. So he sits down, he's pointing fingers, and don't mind him. The man is in a cult. You are in a cult of liars. You are in a cult of rogues. You are in a cult of murderers. It's just that he did not sit down to kill a goat and dance. And like I told you, all those ones is home video. It's films. They have to be dramatic. Many people, they are serving the devil on a regular basis. They just don't realize it. That's what I'm talking about. So when Satan said, bow to me, he won't call me to a shrine. So this is a bowing shrine. Everybody wants to bow, line up. That one is inside home video. Every day what he does is that you join a political party. Sign off on this deal. You know what you are going to do is wrong. They are about to take 200 million naira that belongs to the government and pay into your political party coffers. You agree, you have joined the cult. You agree, you have bowed to the devil. What should I do? If you can't take it, get up and walk home. I won't have money again. That was why David said, fear the Lord, ye saints. There is no lack or want for those who fear him. That was what he was referring to. Because the issue of lack will come up at a time to make sure that people don't fear God. The one that annoys me so much, this one is even small. The people that annoy God most are those who carry these scriptures and who handle it. That's why James said, when they are volunteering to be teachers, don't join them. That your own judgment is stricter. That's what the Bible says. When you talk to some of them sometimes, say, this is the truth. He said, if we do as you are saying, how will the church get money? That is how to die early. What difference does it make whether the church gets money or not? Truth is truth because it is true. Truth is not true because it gets results. Truth is truth because the Lord said it is true. I've had arguments with people when you corner them with scriptures and say, guys, this is what the word is saying. He said, if we do like that, how many times will Christians bring money to church? And I said, what difference does it make? Will you say because without that they won't bring money to church, you start telling lies? Like I say all the time, preacher, one day you are going to get injured. You are a worse sinner than a PDP chairman that collects money. You are a worse sinner, listen to me, than the armed robber that stays on the way to dispossess people of their goods. You are using the weapon that's most powerful in life, the word of God. That guy just using a gun. He said, fear the Lord, ye saints. So if I light this lie and the money comes in, there was a story I was telling you some weeks ago. I didn't finish it. One man went to a church to go and use the word of God to collect money. I heard the second-hand story, so it may not be totally accurate, but the spirit is clear. When he was done, he said he entered his car, he was going. He said the Lord said to him, just a thought dropped in his mind, or the Holy Spirit spoke to him clearly. He said, if you want to see your wife and children again, better go and drop that money. They had given him his own portion. So the driver turned. I want to live long. Driver turned back to the pastor who invited him. Thank you very much. My spirit says I should give you back your money. I saw it as a seed. I don't need to tell you, he never did that again. He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. The thing you are afraid of, don't worry about it. There is no lack to those who fear him. No matter how bad things are, he said in that Psalm 34, He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. The problem with a lot of people, they are looking for things that God did not call good for them. That is the problem. The young jobless boy wants to drive a Lexus. That is what the problem is. At the age of 35, he wants to build a mansion, a house that has 9 rooms. 1,000 square meters free around it, and 4 cars parked in the compound. He has not produced anything. He doesn't even have a wife, not to even talk about children. And he wants a house with 9 rooms. He's a stingy man. He doesn't have visitors. He wants a house with 9 rooms. He's not going anywhere. Nobody knows. Nobody's welcoming here anywhere. He wants to buy 3 cars. A man who, if you gave him a motorbike, the bike will not finish 1 gallon of fuel in 1 year because he's not going anywhere. He wants to buy 3 cars. That is the problem. And when God doesn't give it to him, he says, the Lord is slow. Meanwhile, the Bible says that those who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. What I always said, I've said this for years and I still mean it. I know it to be true. Anything I don't have right now, I've asked the Lord for it. I don't have it yet. It's not good for me. And it's good for me to come. That is a matter of fact. The word of God is always true. Always true. He said, fear the Lord, ye saints. There is no want to those who fear him. There is no lack to them. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. What am I saying today? Let me summarize it so I can get into the main thing I wanted to teach today. And that is the fact that the time for nonsense is over. What did I say? Is over. The one that Christians are doing business, you don't know whether when they say good morning, sir, you have to go out and go and check whether is it really morning. You know? That time is over. If you say you're a believer, people should know. I mean, one of my colleagues told a story once to tell you what we need to redeem the name of God from. Say, a man went to the market to go and buy things. Maybe it's a building person, a lot of, you know, he buys heavy stuff. So one day he finished buying things from the market, maybe building materials. He just found out by accident that for certain reasons, he did not pack all the cash he needed. Meanwhile, they unloaded the truck. It was what they were paying, they realized money wasn't complete. This was years ago. Assuming it's a weekend, he didn't know how to get money and pay the balance. The only option they had was to what? Offload the goods. So he walked up to the man who owned the goods and said, I don't know how to say this. But listen, the money is not complete. Not because there's no money, but because I made a mistake while I was preparing to come. We've loaded the truck. Can I just ask? I know it's like unlikely you will agree. Let me just take the goods away. And we're talking huge amounts of money. That the balance of it, I will bring it either next time I come to market or on Monday, something like that. To his surprise, the man said, no problem, you can go. So the man drove the goods away and came back later on with the more balance of the money and gave the owner, the man who sold stuff to him. So now, he says, sir, I was a little surprised you agreed. The man said, I agreed because you did not mention the word God. He said, if I had heard you say God or Jesus or anything, he said, I would not have agreed. He said, just because you said, trust me, I will get your money for you so and so time. He said, that's why I agreed. This man was not a God hater. Don't think he's an anti-Christian. No, it's just that they have used the name of God to defraud him so much that I'd rather trust a man on his own integrity. He's saying that, God knows that. No, I say, true Christian, hallelujah. You know, in Jesus' name, the man said, once you start that one, I know you're a criminal. That is what people have done with the name of God. Now, when you say, as a Christian, in fact, the one that makes me laugh most now, you say, the Holy Spirit said, even me, preacher, that if you don't want me to believe you, just the Holy Spirit said, I know that what you want to say is so unreasonable. You know I won't agree. So you want to bamboozle me. Put me in a corner so I can't talk. You tell me, Holy Spirit said. These are the words you use when you come to Pastor Banky to talk. It seems good to me that we should do this. Every time I pray, in my mind, I just feel like this is what we should do. You know, sometimes this impression stays with me and I feel it's the right thing to do. Say all of those and I will take you serious. You know why? That way I can counsel you. But once the Holy Spirit said, now I will just shut up. Say, sir, what do you think? How can I think? When the Holy Spirit has said, are you all right? How can I be thinking? If you want to marry a woman, go and tell her, Angelina, I like you. When I see you, my heart does jiggy jiggy like railway. Angelina, when I'm sleeping, I'm thinking of you. When I wake, I think of you. In fact, Angelina, you are the sugar of the tea, the rose in the garden, the mosquito in the net. Anything you like, call Angelina. Say, I want to marry you. Forget what the Lord is saying here first. I want to marry you. Don't say the Lord said. It's not nice. Are you saying the Lord didn't say? The Lord could have said, but it's like I always say, it's a problem between you and the Lord. By the time you are coming to Angelina, he should have persuaded you and converted you to his own will. So that now your will is now merged with that of the Lord. So now come according to that and talk to Angelina and give her the opportunity to refuse without disobeying God. Once the Holy Spirit said, again, which one do I do now? If I don't like you, I offend God. It's unfair. Tell the guy beside you, it's not fair. I mean, Ezekiel said, there was a time the Lord said to him, your brother, now I can't remember the exact way now. So-and-so person will come and offer you to buy this plot of land. And I want you to buy it from him. And Ezekiel said, was either Ezekiel or Jeremiah, one of the two. He now said, listen, as I was sitting down, that fellow now showed up and offered me that land and said I should buy. He said, then I knew that the Lord has spoken to me. That if such prophets can still be in doubt, how much more you that you have never, the only dream you have dreamt is that of the witch fighting you in a dream. And you know that thing is always a lie. All these dreams you have been dreaming that your uncle came to fight you in a dream. Let me just tell you ahead of time. It's a lie. I don't care. So I fought him and I won. It's a lie. You want to fight a friend. Won't you hide? Your auntie that came in the dream to fight you is not your auntie. It's the fear in your soul that is fighting you. I'm about to digress. Let me stop. Demons want to clash the heads of friends, heads of family, and they will be believing. Anyway, that's digression, Abby. Let me not sit on it. That's not my message at all. What am I trying to explain? You know, I digress into that. I know where I began from. I'm trying to say that these are the things that we need to redeem the name of our Lord from. People have embarrassed him so much. When people say they are Christians, people are suspicious of them. That's what I was trying to say. When they say they are led by the Holy Spirit, you just know the man is led by a spirit. It's the holiness that we are querying. Yeah, there's a spirit leading. It's the holiness that's the issue. And what is the remedy? That's what I'm talking about. Tell your neighbor, the remedy is the fear of God.
The fear of God.
That's what I'm preaching. What does it mean to fear God? Fear to offend him. Doesn't mean to have a reverential awe of him. That thing we say a lot in Christianity is not true. We can't face the fact that God can actually be dangerous. That's why we say those things. We should wake up to the reality that the Lord can actually be dangerous. What does it mean to be dangerous? If he says don't go there, you go there, you will suffer for it. One thing you must never do is to count on the forgiveness of God ahead of disobedience to him. That one, don't do it. Let me say it again. Don't count on God's forgiveness when you are planning to consciously disobey him. Don't. He said, the fear of God, the mercy of God is everlasting on those who fear him. Those who consciously disobey him, hoping you have mercy, don't fear him. Points will come in your life. You have to make up your mind who you fear. Are you getting my point? Yes. Points will come in your life. You have to make up your mind who you fear. That was exactly where we ended last time. Let's go back there. Let's read that scripture again. That was where we ended. The book of Isaiah, chapter 8. Please, what I'm teaching is very important. People must fear God. We Christians, we're talking about the culture of Christianity, and that's what I'm talking about now. People must know. We're not doing for them to know, but it should be obvious that because of Christ, because God is watching us, there are things we don't do. Let me say in simple terms. I'm a Nigerian of today, and I'm a member of the Nigerian Customs Service. People should know that I don't take money from smugglers. When goods are coming in, I don't stay at the port negotiating my bribe on them. Your colleagues should know that you're a bad man to post at the border because money won't flow. Do you understand? I'm a policeman in Nigeria of today. My colleagues should know that if I'm the IPO in any case, I don't arrest people just for the sake of arresting them so that they can come and bail themselves out when I know they didn't do anything. They should know. These are the simple things we are saying. I'm a lecturer in today. I don't sell handouts to students. It's a voluntary thing. If you like the handouts, if you like the books, buy. If you don't like, go and read. When I'm grading my scores, I don't care who bought my handout, who did not. I don't care. I score you according to how you perform in the script before me. Because if I don't do that, I will incur the judgment of the Almighty. This is a simple thing we are saying. What does it mean to fear God? It's simple. I'm a preacher in this generation. I know children's school fees. They are accumulating and will have to be paid by next week. I must not take the word of God to raise money because my children are hungry. It is better. Like, you know, there are different ways of disobeying God. There's an easy way that you will not die for. Go to the road and stand. Say, please, I'm a man of God. I have not eaten. It's terrible, isn't it? But it's better. God won't punish you for that one. You will be displeased though, but I don't mind him. He's a foolish boy. I stand beside the road and beg. That is a better thing to do than to take the word of God to extract money from people's pockets. Do you get what I'm saying? Fear God, that's what it means. Isaiah chapter 8. Remember the statement I made? A point comes in your life in which you say, who do I fear? Very important question to answer. He said, for thus the Lord spoke to me, verse 11. With mighty power, with a strong hand, the Lord spoke to me, King James says, and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people. Now, please understand this. What was Isaiah saying? The Lord laid very strong emphasis on it. He didn't just say it in passing. He made sure I heard him very well. With an emphatic tone, the Lord spoke to me and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people. He said to them like this, verse 12, you are not to say it's a conspiracy in regard to all that these people call a conspiracy. My emphasis is next line. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy. He shall be your fear and he shall be your dread. Next line is important to my message today. Then he shall become a sanctuary. Please, I want you to understand that. He said, then he shall become a sanctuary. I want to read that line in the Amplified Bible. Verse 14. Let me start from verse 13. He said, the Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety. And let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Lest you offend him by your fear of man and distrust of him. That is, you don't want to offend God. That's what it means to fear God. That's what I'm going to explain. Just by the way. I think why God led Isaiah to say this. So let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Is that he knew that one day we will come and say, fear does not mean to be afraid. It means to have a reverential awe. That is modern day self-deception.